You're listening to Nick Luck Daily, bringing you the latest news and the best interviews from around the world of horse racing. This episode is brought to you by the Racehorse Owners Association, by Thoroughbred Racing Commentary's Global Rankings in partnership with the Saudi Cup, and by the Fitzdares Club. Hi there, welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, April the 7th, just 3 days away from the Randox Grand National and a day away from the meeting starting at Aintree. I'm safely ensconced in Merseyside. I can see the Liver building from where I'm talking to you at the moment. I'm surprised the birds haven't flown off the top in search of warmer climes. It is that cold, but it is dry at the moment and really looking forward to three fabulous days ahead. Over the next half hour, I'll be talking to connections of leading Grand National fancies, amongst them Nicky Richards, who trains Taking Risks, former Scottish National winner, Nick Alexander, whose Lakeview Lad was a strong fancy for the race 2 years ago and has slipped completely under the radar this time, and Professor Caroline Tisdall, the owner of the wonderful Vieux Lion Rouge, who's tackled 30 plus miles of Aintree and 225 fences in his glittering career. But first, important news surrounding the second favourite for the race at the moment, Burrow Saint. He's a former Irish National winner. Paul Townend was supposed to ride the horse. At the moment, we don't know whether he's fit. It looks highly doubtful. His intended ride in the Topham Trophy over the National Fences on Friday has now been taken by Patrick Mullins. Could it be that Ireland's most high-profile amateur rider, Mr. P.W. Mullins, having missed Cheltenham because of the COVID regulations, slips in for the ride on second favourite Burrow Saint? And just in case you're looking at Burrow Saint's weight and thinking, well, he might not make that weight, of course, this year with COVID regulations, it has been the case that jockeys have been allowed £3 extra. Cornelius Lysett joins me now. We may be jumping the gun a little bit, Cornelius, but that would be quite some story, quite some turnaround, and a turnaround for amateur riders as well, who were forced to miss Cheltenham. And he'd be the first amateur rider in a long time to win it if Burrow Saint was successful.
Since Marcus Armitage, who's been determined to write a memoir one day called The Last Amateur, brackets to win the Grand National. And Jamie Codd, actually, as an amateur rider, was second in the one for Arthur year on Cause of Causes. And then you go back to the 1980s when Dick Saunders and Charlie Fenwick were both successful in the race as amateur riders. It's a tradition that British and Irish racing really loves, doesn't it? That amateur riders are able to take part at this type of level against the professionals. Many of them are really professionals in all but name, in fact, and Patrick Mullins would be a good example of that. And that's why there was a certain amount of controversy that amateur riders weren't able to ride in Britain in the early part of the year and at the Cheltenham Festival. But here we are, perhaps all these years later, with a chance of an amateur rider playing a big part. Burrow Saint has plenty of credentials and looks to be trained absolutely with the race in mind. Are we anticipating Paul Townend news in the near future? I think the radio silence on the subject is hardly, for those of us who are Mullins watchers, yeah, would hardly be seen as a positive, would it?
I think the fact that Patrick Mullins has been declared on Live, Love, Laugh on Friday suggests that Paul Townend is not going to be fit. That would certainly be my reading of it, which is a great shame. And of course, national history is also littered with what might have been for jockeys who were injured very close to the event. I remember when Party Politics won the race with Carl Llewellyn, yeah, spare ride for him, those unforgettable shots of Andrew Adams, the little-known Andrew Adams, standing in the weighing room on crutches watching the race. He should have been on Party Politics.
And happening again with Carl Llewellyn in 1998, Tom Jenks, I think, had been a fairly regular, wasn't he, but possibly talked up for Earth Summit.
That's absolutely right. And then a few years later, Carl Llewellyn, who'd got on both those horses, ended up getting off Bindaree that was ridden by Jim Cullity. That is the Grand National Jockeys merry-go-round. But the key salient point this morning is that informed speculation tells us that should Paul Townend be unfit to ride the leading fancy Burrow Saint, that ride is most likely to go the way, weight permitting, of Patrick Mullins, which would be a good story in itself. Now, another good story would be Taking Risks, a horse who won the Scottish Grand National 2 years ago and is quite a big price to win the National this year, considering he had amongst his victims that day at Ayr Cloth Cap off a similar weight. He's trained by Nicky Richards in Cumbria. He is much beloved of Nicky, and I caught up with the trainer just after he'd ridden him work this morning.
I ride him every morning. We sort of use him as my hack and everything. And I thoroughly enjoy riding him every day, and I hope he likes being here, there, and everywhere amongst the string and that, you know. Oh, he's a lovely, kind horse. Everything he does, he's just an absolute gentleman, yeah. Touch wood, he's been a very sound horse and everything. The one thing he does, he's always wanted 3 miles plus. So, and the majority of his races have been on soft, heavy ground, and I don't think you can over-race them when they're getting fairly, I'm not saying hardish races, but he's having to gallop 3 miles in heavy ground, so he's doing a good day's work every day he runs, you know. So I only like to run them when they're ready to run and they're right in themselves, you know. And he's been very consistent and he's super honest. He gives you everything he's got. So some days he might give himself a little bit harder race than you just realise, you know.
And it's not been lost on anyone that there was a certain cloth cap back in third when your horse, Taking Risks, won the Scottish National 2 years ago. And you did win it by an extreme display of stamina. To what extent does that fill you with confidence?
Well, it's plain to see he really does relish a test of stamina. And even at Doncaster, his last run at Donny, his stamina was just starting to kick in from 2-3 out. You know, he was just starting to get going, really. You know, so I don't think the trip holds any figures to us, you know.
And how is he? You are best placed to know. You've just got off him this morning, so you know exactly how this horse ticks. You know him inside out. Do you think you've got him now exactly where you need to have him before the biggest race of his life?
Yes, I think so. Yes. He's, you know, we haven't overcooked him or anything like that. We've kept him fresh and well, and he went up to Carlisle last week and had a lob around there. So we haven't had to really do a great deal with him, just keeping him fresh and happy. And, you know, he's had half an hour pick of grass there, and he's back into his stable now. He's had a roll, and he's getting stuck into his hay now.
And in Sean Quinlan, you've got a jockey who seems to get on extremely well with him. And, you know, he's been on quite a journey as well. They do seem to click very well.
Yeah, Sean gets on a treat with him. You know, he gets a great old tune out of him. Sean's had a great season again this year, and I've got a jockey full of confidence. He knows the horse inside out, so that ticks all the boxes. So, that's another positive.
Well, Nicky Richards there, trainer of Taking Risks, a horse that's very close to his heart. He talked about how well Sean Quinlan got on with the horse, and this would be a significant comeback for Sean Quinlan, Cornelius. Just tell us why.
Yeah, he's what's been the sort of person that the media likes to refer to as a colourful character. In fact, it's been a bit more serious than that. He's had one or two brushes with the law as well. But I was really struck when Taking Risks won the Scottish Grand National in 2019. And that was a race in which he was driven clear in the closing stages for an emphatic win over Cross Park, and interestingly Cloth Cap in third place. So that day, just to digress for 1 second, in that Scottish National, Taking Risks carried 10-1, including Sean Quinlan, and beat Cloth Cap, ridden by Richie McLernan, carrying £1 less by 4 lengths and a nose. So that makes the odds that are on offer about Taking Risks of around 33-1 even more interesting. Yeah, Sean Quinlan, after that success, spoke of how he had been, I think he probably used the expression wild child, but he was a much calmer, more mature person these days. He became a father not long ago. He's been in sparkling form on Britain's northern jump racing circuit of late. If you actually look at that circuit, you've got Brian Hughes, the champion jockey, still, as we record this, just in front of Harry Skelton. You've had Henry Brooke returning from injury and riding in really good form. You've had Conor O'Farrell in excellent form. He'll be on Via Leon Rouge in the Grand National. And you've had Sean Quinlan riding in, I probably missed out one or two others, for which apologies, but Sean Quinlan as well has been riding in really good form. And it's been one of the sort of quiet stories of the year, and taking risks. I think he's got one thing. If you analyze his form, it's solid. And that defeat of I Wright, who's been such a solid form guide all season in the old Great Yorkshire Chase, the Sky Bet Chase at Doncaster the other day, is rock solid. He goes on any ground. He stays the distance. The drama really is he's 12. 12-year-olds probably, it's not a case of probably, don't win the Grand National all that often.
Not too often, but they do win. Amberley House in 2004 was the last 12-year-old to win the race. Before that, 95 Royal Athlete, 1989 Little Polvere, and in 1980 Charlie Fenwick, who you mentioned earlier on, an amateur rider from America, on Ben Nevis. Another senior man of the party is the 12-year-old Vieux Lion Rouge. There is no horse in history, not even the Great Red Rum, who can have boasted so much experience around this famous course, because he is having his fifth run in a Grand National. He's also run in five Beecher Chases. He has won two of those. He's completed every time he's been to Aintree. His best position in the Grand National was sixth back in 2016. It's great to see him. His owner is Professor Caroline Tisdall, who knows this horse inside out. I've been speaking to her, and I asked her what it was about him she thought made him ideally suited to the demands of this unusual racecourse.
The thing is, Nick, that when he gets to Aintree, he just starts lording it. You know, he becomes a sort of alpha horse. And his the girl who looks after him, Julie Bellamy, says that he's probably had this amazing capacity to survive those fences because he's so aware. He's always aware of everything going on. You know, even when he walks out to the gallops at Pond House, he's not just walking along the road, he's looking over the hedge, observing everything that goes on. So I think it's that quality of being very aware that's kept him such a perennial. He notices what's going on and he's able to dodge trouble. You know, he's a real survivor.
It's quite an interesting concept, that, Caroline, because we often talk about horses being unlucky in the Grand National or around those fences, but what you're sort of saying is that he almost makes his own luck.
Yes, you can, of course, have the terrible luck of following the wrong horse and then nothing will help you, will it? And that nearly happened to him 2 years ago when Gavin Sheen's mount went right across him. And if you look at the playback of the race, he manages to divert as he jumps down. He comes down at a sort of 45-degree angle, but without dislodging the jockey. And, I mean, that is unbelievable on the big... I think it was actually the chair. So you need luck. I think one of them, if I were a jockey in the Grand National, which I would have loved to have been, I think the main thing I would concentrate on is who not to follow, I think. What about you?
I think I would have concentrated on getting as far away from the racecourse as I could before anyone could hand me a set of silks. My admiration for them grows with each passing year. And there is an interesting jockey angle here, of course, because Tom Scudamore has ridden your horse countless times. Yes. And he now finds himself on the favourite, in the spotlight, cloth cap. No limelight for poor old Vieux Lion Rouge this year at all. Tom's not riding him. Conor O'Farrell, who won the Beecher Chase, is on him. The fates do have a weird way of doing strange things when it comes to national time.
Well, I'm delighted for Tom because, you know, he's got to win that race. I mean, he deserves it. And he's... people have been quite rude about him in the National. I think he's done very well. He's always listened to his grandfather's voice urging him on, and his grandfather, after all, Michael, did win on it. And I hope he gets there on cloth cap. Tom loves Vieux-Lyon, and he's had more wins on Vieux-Lyon than any other horse, he says. There's no problem. And Connor is a wonderful horseman, and of course has won on him on the veterans at Chepstow, and the Beaches Chase just recently. So it's win-win all round. We want Tom to win the Grand National. We want our boy to get round safely.
And get round safely is something he's done so admirably so many times before. And the question's always been hanging in the air, and I've asked it to you before, why he seems to excel and relish the Beecher Chase. And I know it's a shorter distance, but it's still a test of stamina. Yet the petrol gauge just seems to ebb away in those closing stages of a Grand National. Can you come into this year's race with any more confidence that he will get the extra trip?
Not really. I mean, it's always slightly unfair to say he doesn't get it, because he finishes and he's always in, you know, if the camera's straight on, he's always in within the frame. You can see him. But this last Beaches, he ended really strongly, didn't he? He looked as if he had more in the tank. And at home this year, he's looking stronger than ever. So who knows? But he's 12. It's not known that a 12-year-old would win the National. As I say, Nick, my great aspiration for him is for him to get round safely, consolidate his fantastic record of having jumped more National fences than any other horse, and then it really will be a huge record of all time, and maybe be honoured for that in his time.
Professor Caroline Tisdall talking about Vieux-Lyon Rouge. What an amazing horse he is. He's been a little bit forgotten this time. Another horse who's been a little bit forgotten is Lakeview Lad. He sure wasn't 2 years ago when he was sent off just about the best fancied of the home trained runners. He represents, like Cloth Cap, the owner Trevor Hemmings, but unlike Cloth Cap, he's trained by Scottish-based Nick Alexander, and he'll be ridden by the champion jockey Brian Hughes. I've been speaking to the trainer, who's enjoying the experience a bit more this time round.
It's quite a relief, to be honest. There was a lot of interest 2 years ago, and therefore a lot of pressure. And this time, there's been minimal interest, and therefore, we go there just sort of hoping that he can outrun his odds. Which certainly, if they water it enough, he might have a good chance of doing so.
And when he came to the race a couple of years ago, he was pulled up, and in the explanation you said you didn't feel the ground was quite soft enough for him. Was it as straightforward as that, do you think?
I think he was also unlucky because there was a false start. He was in the absolutely prime position. Henry had him in the right position first time, and then second time he was caught wide. The horse stood for a moment, just was a standing start, and really, by the time he got to the first jump, his chance was gone, because he was caught really wide the whole way. But that, combined with the ground being a bit fast for him, just meant he was always having to be slightly out of his comfort zone to hold his position, which meant really the game was over. So we'll be hoping that we get a better start, and if he gets into a rhythm, I think if it's good, it's proper good to soft ground, then I think he can run a big race.
And people will point to the fact that he's got a chunk of weight. He has, but that's because he's quite a classy horse. And it was only, 6 weeks ago that you and I were having a genuine discussion on this podcast about whether he could beat Native River and Co. at Sandown. So we probably need to take him at least seriously.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he ran very well to win the Wendy Clouds Chase. Sandown was a disaster, really, he didn't run his race at all, and I'm still not quite sure why that was. He ran a bit better at Kelso, but not. He still ran below par at Kelso. We've done a couple of things since then. He's had a little wind operation. He's been treated for one or two things, and he's going to have cheek pieces on this time just to sharpen him up a little bit. And I've done absolutely everything I can to try to leave those two runs behind and have the horse that ran in the Many Clouds turn up.
And you've got Brian Hughes, the champion jockey, on board as well, and he was on board when you beat Santini in the race with no fences at Christmas time. What does Brian think? Because he's not a man who's normally, too glass half full if he doesn't think he's got a chance.
No, he'd probably be wishing he was the Newcastle Reading winners, but he came in a week or so ago. Yeah, gave the horse a bit of work, jumped him over a sort of mini national fence that we've built for him, and you know he would agree with me that our chances would be enhanced by the ground being a bit softer. He, after Kelso, you know, we very much had the conversation about the little things that we could try to tweak ahead of Aintree, and we've done all of those. So I would like to think Brian's going in there to, he'll certainly be giving his absolute best shot, certainly. And, you know, he's a master tactician in a race. So, you know, let's hope that it all goes well for him.
And for you to have a runner for Trevor Hemmings, I was lucky enough to interview him on my Sunday programme on Racing TV at the weekend. What a tremendous man he is.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely loved that piece you did on at the weekend. It was lovely, and I mean, for me, just a sort of, you know, small trainer in Scotland, it's absolutely fantastic to have a horse in the Grand National for Trevor Hemmings, ridden by the reigning champion jockey, seventh top weight. You know, I could never have dreamt that we'd end up where we are. So I'm just absolutely delighted to be competing, and I would absolutely love it if Cloth Cat won, and I'd love it even more if Lakeview Lad won.
Nick Alexander there, and before him, Professor Caroline Tisdall and Vieux-Léon Rouge Cornelius. The numbers are just ridiculous, aren't they? What a horse this is.
This really is. We talk about heroes around equine and human around the Aintree course, but in the modern era, there has been really none, or the most modern era, none greater than Vieux-Léon Rouge. So you need a calculator to work out how many miles he's travelled around that corner of Merseyside, and how many times he's jumped the fences. Well, your arithmetic you said wasn't great. Mine's worse than yours, though. Do you reckon it's 225 fences?
Well, there's probably a few fences that have been omitted along the way, but it's somewhere
220
between,
plus.
Yeah, it's 220 plus fences. It should have been 225 if all of them had been jumped, and 30 miles, over 30 miles of the ground.
Over 30 miles. And that's absolutely... It's extraordinary to have achieved jumping that many obstacles without drama and running that far without drama, when you consider that both in the Grand National and in the Beecher Chase, that so much can go wrong. He's a horse that has really excelled in the Beecher Chase. Whether his stamina will really last out the distance in the Grand National is probably debatable, but I was talking to somebody from the David Pipe stable day or two ago, the amateur rider Martin McIntyre, and he said the excitement at the yard is enormous because you've got Vieux-Léon Rouge there, who's such an old regular, and Conor O'Farrell gets on really well as his rider on board, and then the stable jockey Tom Scudamore, or the number one preferred jockey Tom Scudamore, is on Cloth Cap. So there's a lot for the stable to get behind. And as they come through into the closing stages of the race, if it's a case of Vieux-Léon Rouge and Cloth Cap, there'll be a lot of noise being made at Pipe HQ. And that would be a lovely story. And that is the thing about this race, isn't it? I always think that as well as looking for horses which have got good form, like Cloth Cap, like Any Second Now, those type of horses, Magic of Light as well, who's been placed in the past. When you look at those horses, but you look at the horses that are going to make the really nice stories as well. And Cloth Cap clearly would be a lovely story for Trevor Hemmings to become the winning most owner in the Grand National. Any Second Now, the Walshes again. Magic of Light, it's an anniversary, isn't it, of Nickel Coin. Is it 70 years since Nickel Coin was the last mare to win? Mr. Malarkey for the Tizzards would be a great story. Taking Risks, unquestionably a good story. Definitely Red, another one to mention, having been pulled up after the saddle slipped in the race in 2017. And another that, because I've got such a clear view in my mind's eye of the Grand Sefton at the December meeting at Aintree of a couple of years ago, when Hogan's Height was successful, trained by Jamie Snowden at Lambourne for an organisation called Foxtrot Racing. And they were already, when the jockey that day was getting off Hogan's Height, having won the Grand Sefton, a much shorter race over the big fences, the excitement in everybody's eyes, yeah, you know, we can aim at the big one in the future. And they are there as number 38, relatively big prize contenders for the race, but definitely in there. And it's a decent-sized owning syndicate which owns Hogan's Height, and confirmation from the racecourse that Merseyside Council has said it is happy for six owners to be able to go with each horse to the Grand National. So that's a significant piece of news for that owning syndicate, and indeed for all owners, and indeed for horse racing as a whole, as things gradually get back to normal. No crowds, but a lot of those owners who adore these horses, pay for these horses, nurture these horses, will be there on hand to cheer them around.
Now, just breaking off from Aintree for a moment, important news, because we keep abreast of the situation in Hong Kong, thanks to our correspondent, J.A. McGrath, who joins me now. Jim, really important news as regards one of the longer-serving riders in Hong Kong, and somebody that British and Irish listeners will be very well familiar with.
Yes, Neil Callan has today been shown the door by the Hong Kong Jockey Club. He's been suspended for 3 months. He's lost his licence in Hong Kong. He won't be relicensed there. And it's the end of a career of 10 years in Hong Kong, as you say.
And it's quite draconian. I mean, the punishment is one thing, but it's the fact that, you know, you read the South China Morning Post headline, that's the end for Callan. They're not going to reissue a licence if they finished him over there.
They have finished him. It is all powerful. It all revolves around a steward's inquiry that took place earlier this season. That was on February the 3rd at Happy Valley. He was suspended for 3 meetings and he was fined £2,000 by the stewards. He didn't like it at all. He showed his displeasure to the stewards, and they interpreted his response as being disrespectful. And of course, it was very much the end on the cards from that point. He's been riding very well, actually. He rode a big winner on Easter Monday. He rode Mighty Giant to win the Chairman's Trophy. He's going out on a high as far as his performance on the track is concerned, but it was his performance in the stewards' room that has led to this penalty.
And having sat in a stewards' inquiry at Happy Valley, I know that they're a very different beast to stewards' inquiries elsewhere in the world.
Very much so, and they're all powerful. Don't forget, there's only 22, 25 riders in Hong Kong. It's a valued license, and they're speaking from a position of power. They know that there are jockeys queuing up. They have files full of applications for riding licenses in Hong Kong. And, of course, we know that Harry Bentley is already doing quarantine in Hong Kong, and so as soon as his name flashed up in lights, I think Neil Callan knew that the end was very near.
Big news there from Hong Kong. Jim will be back with us for a preview of Happy Valley tomorrow. Cornelius back with me now, because tomorrow is the beginning also of the Randox Grand National Festival at Aintree. And Cornelius, Tiger Roll will be the star on show, but not on the day we wanted.
I've been part of and seen a couple of Grand National previews this week, or Grand National Festival previews this week. And it's an emphatic thumbs down from everybody about Tiger Roll's prospects in the Betway Bowl. I saw Matt Chapman on a preview of the Aintree Festival saying that if Bristol DeMay is still in contention in the closing stages, his jockey ought to lean down and say, this is Haydock. This is Haydock in his ear, because he's only won recent races at Haydock. In Tiger Roll's case, I imagine Jack Kennedy might be leaning down and saying, ignore the chair, as they get to the closing stages. But yeah, lots to look forward to on day one and right the way through. This is not a one-trick pony, the Aintree Grand National Festival. Obviously, the Grand National gets all the attention on Saturday afternoon, but lots of good stuff all around.
You got a tip for me for today or whenever?
I'm going to just go for the first day at Aintree, if I may, waiting patiently. We've all waited patiently with this horse. Great run in the King George, and the conditions, the course, all suit. So waiting patiently in the Betway Bowl Chase, the 250 at Aintree. Brian Hughes, one in front of the jockey's table as we speak. The positioning may be slightly different by then, but I think waiting patiently would be another one in his tally.
That'll be Thursday the 8th at Aintree, waiting patiently in the Betway Bowl. Cornelius, thank you very much. Thank you very much for listening. That was Wednesday the 7th of April. You've been listening to Nick Luck Daily, brought to you in association with Fitzdares, the Racehorse Owners Association, and Thoroughbred Racing Commentary.